Personas que presentan al mundo la antorcha olímpica se ha transformado en una lección de derechos humanos para la Unión Americana. Beatriz Salas amplía la información.
Decidir sobre quiénes serán los portadores de la antorcha en la ceremonia inaugural de los Juegos Olímpicos de invierno en Pekín es la responsabilidad de China, y Estados Unidos no está en posición de hacer comentarios despectivos. Así respondió Pekín a la reciente interferencia de Washington, quien aseveró que la elección de China del atleta de la etnia Uyghur, Denijir Dilamu Mujian, para llevar la antorcha olímpica es un esfuerzo de Pekín para distraer la atención del llamado genocidio en la región de Xinjiang.
Los llamados comentarios de genocidio de Estados Unidos son la gran mentira del siglo y exponen su intento de politizar los Juegos Olímpicos de invierno y su siniestra intención de utilizar el tema relacionado con Xinjiang para difamar a China.
China asimismo acusó a Estados Unidos de mentir de manera descarada sobre las minorías étnicas, mientras olvida sistemáticamente discriminaciones en su propio suelo.
Estados Unidos llevó a cabo un genocidio contra los nativos americanos en el pasado y ha discriminado sistemáticamente a las minorías raciales a largo plazo. La población de nativos americanos se ha desplomado de 5 millones a finales del siglo XV a unos 250 mil a principios del siglo XX, reduciéndose a una vigésima parte. ¿Qué es el genocidio? Las políticas que Estados Unidos ha impuesto a los nativos americanos son un verdadero genocidio.
Zhao, además de criticar la discriminación racial contra los africanos y asiáticos en Estados Unidos, dijo que elegir a una atleta de la etnia Uyghur muestra que la política de China de promover los deportes de invierno y mejorar la salud de las personas está beneficiando a individuos de todos los grupos étnicos y prueba que no existe discriminación.
Lo que Estados Unidos debería estar haciendo es revisar cuidadosamente sus propios crímenes históricos contra los nativos americanos y tomar medidas concretas para reducir la discriminación racial contra estas personas y otras minorías raciales, como los africanos y asiáticos.
China, en reiteradas ocasiones, ha instado a Estados Unidos a dejar de usar los asuntos vinculados con Xinjiang para difundir mentiras, interferir en los asuntos internos de China o intentar detener el desarrollo del país. Advierte que, de lo contrario, Pekín dará una respuesta más contundente a la luz del desarrollo de la situación. Beatriz Salas, con información de Niloufar Shakuri, Hispan TV Noticias.
Migrantes de todos los rincones del mundo duermen bajo su mismo cielo estrellado. Me los encuentro en las calles, en los cines, en los supermercados, y el olor de sus comidas me embriaga de placer. Todos ellos son mis vecinos.
Y yo aquí vivo, bajo sus leyes domésticas, pago impuestos y mis manos producen la riqueza nacional.
Soy parte de esa comunidad que vive, trabaja y sueña con una mañana mejor para nuestras familias.
Casi todos migrantes como yo, casi todos soñadores como yo.
Trabajemos, pues, en la construcción de otra nación que nos haga dignos.
Seamos los arquitectos de nuestro sueño colectivo.
Esta radio no tiene comerciales porque tú nos apoyas. Si ya has hecho una aportación económica, te damos las gracias. Si no, hazlo ahora en kpfk.org o llama al 818-985-5735.
Así llegamos al final de esta edición del Informativo Pacífica. Nuestro más profundo agradecimiento a todos los medios y personas que hicieron posible este programa. A nombre de Norma Martínez, se despide tu amigo de siempre, Fernando Velázquez. Gracias por acompañarnos.
Este y otros programas del Informativo Pacífica pueden ser escuchados o descargados en iPod o en forma tradicional en www.kpfk.org en los archivos de audio.
Told me, you know, we'll give you a day, we'll give you a week, however long it takes for you to accept our help to be healed and to become a child of God and denounce being gay.
Honoring the memory of Dr. Anonymous, coming up on the Rainbow Minute.
I got three quarters of the way through several times and was like, well, I have no idea how this would end, so I have to start over. But one thing I know is I can't end a story without hope.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Nicaragua's NGO Purge targets its oldest queer group. Gay Taiwanese movie sings out a universal love song and upending the artistic process with Amanda Kayback. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Joe Bainline.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending August 28, 2021. The government of Nicaragua is aiming to shut down the country's oldest LGBTQ advocacy group. The Interior Ministry has asked the National Assembly to annul the legal nonprofit status of Fundacion Xaquiquetzal and 14 other non-governmental organizations. President.
And up next, it's the December 15th, 2022 edition of Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. This time, it's going to be not a flashback, but a replay of today's December 15th HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom meeting, which lasted about 2.5 hours, a little more. The reason I'm doing this is because I think there was a lot of interesting conversation that covered a lot of topics that I'd like to see folks who are out there doing more about, or at least learning more about. And I think that it was covered, not in large part, but in significant part, by homeless folks who are living the life that we, that some of us, myself included, talk about. So check it out. There will be some city mangler stuff. That's the city manager, Matt Huffaker, and his quarterly report coming up, I hope, on Sunday. It's an hour-long report from him and his subordinates, which, of course, I think is mainly fluff and puff and cover-up. And it actually shows you, if you really, I guess, got into it closely, the amount of waste and the actual suffering that is being ignored and created as well, not just ignored, by the city mangler and his subordinates and his allies in the city and on the city council. So hopefully if you don't want to wait for Sunday, you can hear it by going directly to the city council website, and you can hear it when they post the show. It comes out as the very last item on the agenda before the evening session, before the oral communications. So check it out if you're interested. Enjoy the HUF meeting. If you have questions about it, if you'd like to get more information about HUF, if you'd like to be on the HUF email list, which would give you notices of when the HUF meetings are happening, though they happen every week. They have been happening every week. On Thursdays, starting in, well, this one started about 10:10. I'm 11:10 or so. Usually we slate to start at 10:45, but often that doesn't happen till 11, but come to the Sub Rosa anyway, enjoy some of the anarchist books and literature and historical information and a cup of coffee, although usually that doesn't get made until a few minutes into the meeting. And tell us about what's been happening in your neck of the woods if you're outside, or listen and learn, and volunteer to help if you're inside and you want to get involved. Again, my phone number, if you want to reach me, is 831-423-4833. 423-4833. So, yeah, here comes the Huff meeting. And if you missed it, now you get to hear it. It's the Huff meeting of December 15th, 2022. And present are Monica Gibbs, Thomas, QZ, and me. And we're going to roll pretty early. Well, 10, 11:15. We're only 15 minutes beyond 11. So we have a, if you want one of these, my propaganda on Ukraine, which you may have seen. Mary St. Thomas, you may or not have seen it. It's called Nine Reasons Why. Here you go, Monica. Why we should try to avoid nuclear war. One of my theories.
Oh, you got one. Are you going to go over it?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I might. I don't know. People ask. It's not really directly homeless related, so.
You
know.
Yeah, you can talk about it.
I could. If somebody wants to put it on the agenda to talk about, I'll talk about it. And it could be you, QZ. Here's the Huff agenda possibility. Again, these are all tentative. If you've got something you want to put to the top, do.
Okay,
we have pass-arounds are first, as I remember. Timekeeper. Anybody want to volunteer to keep time? Anybody? Poor Thomas always gets singled out. All right, thank you, Thomas. Timekeeper Thomas, I'm going to have to call you henceforth. Sorry. And we have a street report, pass-arounds first. I haven't got much in the way of pass-arounds today, so you should be grateful. We do have, in lieu of me, and grab coffee if you want, guys, please. If it's available, I don't know, is it available yet?
Yeah.
Right there. Cool.
That little metal container there, the green and blue, has half and half in it.
So I think, unfortunately, come in, please.
Ah, hi.
We've been waiting for you.
Hello.
All right, bring on the Helga. All right.
Helga. Mark just told me you're not here.
No, I'm not. This is somebody else.
I didn't think so.
No, I don't. I usually don't show up, so here you go.
Okay, so she's sitting here.
Yes.
And I'm going to
sit.
Can I sit
with
you?
Yes, please. We can pull some more chairs around. There's a chair here.
Not too bad.
Yeah, so we got chairs. So I'm going to take a pause here. Again here. So we have, and we also have a pass around from Keith McHenry, the health inspector, responding to a complaint about food not bombs, but not necessarily in a very, not in a negative way, but. This is an example of what the health department does when it's confronted with a complaint, or at least this particular complaint. So, I don't have you on the... I think I do have you on the agenda, Helga.
Mm-hmm. Where am I?
You are...
I don't see myself.
No, well, I see you.
We are right there.
Yeah, you took me out.
Felton update. You're the Felton. Call yourself Felton, if you don't mind.
No.
That's your new name.
Call me Felton.
Mrs. Felton.
Oh, okay.
Or Ms. Felton. Felton Arena? Okay, the first thing that I'm going to roll into, first of all, I want to ask if anybody has something they want to add to the agenda. And remind you that if you think of something later, fine, but
don't
you a little bit.
Yeah, we get our 10 minutes or whatever, 7 minutes to talk about that.
Oh, good
right?
point. Timekeeping.
Yeah, because I have something to say.
Okay, so should we make it 7 minutes? Is that okay for only. Can you.
Where is it? Oh, here it is, on the flip side. Bell update.
So that,
okay.
So the first thing I have on anything anybody wants to add, you got your You wanted the 7 minutes. That's fine.
Yeah, I would. Well,
unless somebody objects, in which case.
Do we all get 7 minutes?
Huh?
Doesn't everybody get 7 minutes?
In other words, 7 minutes for the entire item, unless people want to extend time. And then we give more time.
Okay. I think I'm okay.
Does that sound good?
Yeah, it sounds good. Okay. Thank you.
So we had. You remember Gibbs? Everybody remember Gibbs?
What is your name?
Gibbs.
I never met him.
No.
Hi, Gibbs.
No, he
wasn't here. I'm Helga.
It's good to meet you.
You too, thank you.
She's from Felton. He's from Kansas.
Well, I was born and raised in Scott Valley.
Where are you living now?
West Side, usually.
Okay.
He's one of those fabled homeless people that sometimes show up at our meeting.
Nice.
Amazingly.
Nice smiling faces.
Yeah. All right, the first item on the agenda after that is the city, or street reports is the first item. Anybody got some street reports about what's going on down outside?
They're kind of clearing out a lot of Delaware. So it's being kind of condensed down further away from Schaefer.
Anything different from a week ago, would you say? Or?
Probably less vehicles within two blocks. And then they're doing some sort of water pipes on Natural Bridges Road, so there's no parking there.
About time.
Yeah.
Because you guys didn't have showers forever. You couldn't go down there and play in the water and take showers.
Is that now working? Or?
Well, no, they're currently working on pipes. All the rest of the state.
Is that Natural Bridges at the beach?
Yeah.
Okay. I was talking about Natural Bridges Road that connects Mission Extension and Delaware. There's a Natural Bridges Road. Yeah, they're doing all that those giant blue pipes through there.
They have such poor plumbing on the west side.
Yeah.
Before.
Good. Getting it done.
The pipes you're talking about are not the pipes.
They might be the same. They're like this big around.
Yeah, they're
blue. Yeah.
Hopefully they'll get the shower turned on down there.
Good.
But the one other thing that I wanted to say about that as far as west side goes is there's a few other people that I gave the periodicals to. There's a couple guys that wanted to be on a list that they could get and send you guys money for getting the periodicals, like the street thing. A couple of Ace Hardware. There's at Safeway that want to get the periodicals and get involved. They want to be able to send you a certain amount of money each month to get one of those, you know.
Are you talking about people who are housed or people who are homeless?
Some of them are housed and some of them are homeless. Some of them that are homeless have texted you already and said that they were interested in getting the periodicals and want to know more about Huff and the whole situation.
Some are housed and some are homeless. People who are homeless, of course, they're free and give them out. Sell them, you make your own money is the idea for the paper.
Right.
At your house, the idea is pay $2 to a homeless person if you take a paper.
Yeah.
Don't give money to me particularly, but unless you want to fund my habits.
Well, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get people to get a hold of you, donate money to not only Huff, but also to freakfreeradio.org. And because that's really my...
I'll put free radio on the agenda. I'll talk a little bit about it.
So you have already... There's already a couple of people that have tested you and want to do that.
Okay.
If you haven't gotten back to them yet.
So, Gibbs, this is Rita, in case you don't remember her. Rita was...
Hi, Rita.
I'm the Ayers Hardware.
Oh, you did? Which one? Oh, that was you?
Yeah.
Huh?
She interviewed you?
No.
No, we just hung out. We just said hi.
Okay, sideways. Some interview happened. And this is Laura, in case you remember Laura.
Yeah, I recognize you. What's your name?
Gibbs.
Gibbs. Oh, yeah. I just talked to you last week.
Yeah.
On the levee, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe she interviewed you.
No.
No? Nobody interviewed you. I thought so you said
something. No, I do my own interviews.
Well, you can interview yourself.
I'd be happy to do interview myself, but no, no.
We're probably on our list, right?
Which one?
The one that Robert was collecting.
I don't know if he is, because I don't think you know. You have an email that works. No, you don't have a phone.
I've got like five emails, but I don't use them because.
Right.
Oh right, you told me that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about?
So for newcomers, we have 7 minutes that we're throwing in for every item. I'm rushing to get through the items.
I'm
sorry. No, it's all right. I just wanted because you're new for the moment.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. This is a person. Do I know you? Because you've got a mask.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Helga.
Oh, that's Helga. Okay.
Yeah, sorry. I'm going to wear my mask. I was sick for a while, and I don't want to. I mean,
okay.
Long enough through whatever
I'm
I have.
It's gone like that, too.
But I prefer.
No problem.
I'm not vaccinated, you guys.
No, then you're going to get it.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you know what? I was exposed to it all the time. I had a couple girlfriends that had died from it. And I even got their little figurines and stuff, because when they die, they give them a little.
We're going to cut this up before the 7 minutes is up.
And then I took the vaccination and I got sick, and I was exposed to it.
Yeah, no, everybody
all the time.
We can put that on the agenda. Yeah, I know. That's, I mean, that's an important thing we want
to
talk about. But,
well, you have to run
okay.
Fever.
So, all right, so,
yeah,
that's
okay.
Good.
Yeah.
Make sure immune system's
okay.
All right, so, does anybody want to put COVID on the agenda for now, or do we should we leave it just as informal?
Leave it alone.
Informal.
Just keep going because we have
okay.
More
no, fair enough. No, I mean, it's relevant.
Thank you.
All right, so we have City Mangler's quarterly update. Now, the City Mangler, of course, is the city manager, Matt Huffaker. He was on the city council agendas Tuesday, and I have to confess, it was the last item on the agenda. I didn't want to listen to the city council. I did call in during the closed session to berate the council for not having claims on the agenda, which I think I've talked about in previous meetings. They do not have claims against the city on the city council agenda, and they should, because that way you can know what the police department is being sued for or, you know, damaging people about. But there was a more important thing, which I'm probably going to be talking about at 6 o'clock tonight, or so I'll be playing what I'm talking about at 6 o'clock tonight. And that's an hour-long or a 45-minute-long quarterly report on homelessness and all the wonderful things the city has been doing to help the homeless folks. And it's certainly a very awe-inspiring and so forth, which I haven't listened to, but the only thing I've got for you is this article by the questionable reporter Jessica Jerk, or actually she calls herself Jessica York. And I always try to find some way of, shall we say, getting snickering at these people, which, you know, I think can be positive, but on the other hand, can be infantile. So it depends on how you look at it.
Can you access the report online?
I suspect you can, unless the Sentinel is playing get a subscription first.
Okay.
So I think, I would say, look up the headline, City Takes Stock of Progress on Homelessness Report. City Takes Stock of Progress on Homelessness Report. And since it's recent, today's paper, you will probably find it, because I think the most recent report is still fine. And so I'm going to read salient points and pass it around so people can ogle it at their you know, leisure, so to speak. I didn't notice a lot of... Let me take a look here. Maybe, I want to see if there are actually anything coming out, statistics from the city council, which is kind of the key issue here. Let's see. Maybe I'll just read the report and then try to find the statistics in another moment. Detailing the pathways of a local couple from homeless to house, the city council's city outreach worker was moved to tears Tuesday. That's her lead-in. And the problem, of course, is they'll take a nice anecdote of a successful story and ignore the misery that they've created with their demolition of the benchlands and their general sweep policy. So that's what I'm anticipating is in here, but I can't say. They had a report from Monica Hernandez, who was she credited the city's year-old. York is wrong. It's 2 years old. 1220 River Street encampment for giving the couple, maybe the 1220 is actually longer than that, but for giving the couple the final leg up it needed. And of course, they gave a leg up at 1220 only to 30 people total, because it's a very small encampment. It's gotten better than it was originally started.
There aren't even 30 anymore.
No, is that right?
Jeremy's got it down.
Really?
I was asking, I said, I was there the other day, and there were spaces available, and I said, oh, it looks like you have room for some more people. And he said, well, depends on who you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to be friends with him enough so he gives me information, so I hope he doesn't listen to this, but, you know, I think that he was indicating that he's kind of putting a control on the amount of people who gets into 1220.
I think he does. I think that he has these elaborate standards because he wants success out of people who are coming in. Jeremy Leonard,
wow.
I think that's who you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And therefore, he wants to put the best possible face on it so the grants keep coming. So they're also talking about, I didn't see it in this article yet, but they are. I heard a little bit of the audio before I came to the meeting today, and they were talking about extending a position of one of the outreach workers, and that might be Jeremy Leonard. He may be actually getting a more permanent job from this, which is nice for Jeremy, but not necessarily nice if the people who he is supposed to be helping don't feel helped or aren't being helped the way they need to be. And again, I'm not commenting on that at this particular time, except to give this sort of brief slur of poor Jeremy, based on past problems that I've seen around, mostly the demolition of the benchlands. So one of the things that, so this cites the great 1220 River Street finding one person housing or helping her in some way, Monica Hernandez. Then another is creating and expanding the existing national database. So we've got all these homeless people in the database. And isn't that nice? So that they can be, should we say, followed, which might make some sense if there was some real effective contact with people to find solutions that they actually individually need. But instead, I suspect that's not happening on a mass basis. I could be wrong, but that's... But I'm afraid that's the case. Anybody has any thoughts, you can feel free to raise your hand or interrupt.
I see it in Felton.
What did you want to say? Go ahead.
I see it in Felton. They keep harassing, the sheriffs keep harassing the people who are outside of the resource center, and they keep searching them. So that is, they have a new manager, but I agree, they know the names, they know the big crimes that they committed, and they were searching the crimes. I mean, they did nothing, you know. And so that's really going on a lot, Robert.
Right. Well, I think they're also trying to essentially criminalize everybody who's not in the base.
Yeah.
So you either, as I said, you either have talked about this previous meetings, you've got to be crazy, drunk, or addicted to get into the base, or severely disabled, and they put you in these categories. First of all, that turns everybody else against each other because they can all compete for funds. You know, that's, and also each of them needs a separate caretaker to make sure that they know how to pay rent, because you know we know that disabled people don't know how to pay rent. That's axiomatic. So in any case, that's my prejudice on this. So the Homelessness Management Information System is one of their achievements, according to this. And they beta testing an outreach module update to the database to track 170 people out of 225 staying at the Benchlands encampment. Of course, that's far undercount, in my belief, at the Benchlands. And the idea that they're actually tracking people, I talked to people who repeatedly, I didn't get a mass study, but Laura, you probably had more connection. Okay. Than I did about the people who are in the Benchlands, and you know,
whether they were approached by people like Jeremy, who said, I'll give you housing if you want it.
Oh, well, you know, there's some people that were, but they didn't get anything. And, there are people that have complained that they couldn't find him. They were told to meet him various times and couldn't find him.
And Jeremy's insistence was that anybody, this was on the day of all these demolitions, of which there were seven stages. Every time he would, at least on two or three of those occasions, he told me, anybody who wants a place to stay in the armory, I will give it to them and I will drive them up there, is what he would say. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that actually was factual. I suspect it may have been, because by that time, people who wanted to keep their own property were not interested in disposing of it and then going up to a very controlled environment that they couldn't access easily and it was far away from their support systems. So, anyway, that has not yet been mentioned in this article. Working with this couple to obtain housing, need for more stabilized support housing, Hernandez, a lot of quotes from Hernandez. My getting so emotional, it's been a privilege to help them finally get out of homelessness. And I guess she's a caseworker, not just maybe she's not a victim here. But one of the people who works, Reggie Meisler, criticized the city. Good for him for calling in. I should have called in and did not. I should have gotten an additional minute to talk. You can get 3 minutes if you contact them early. Big deal. For helping to create some of the couple's housing stability woes by not creating policies that cause police to ticket and tow vehicles in which individuals live. That is, they would stop police, I think is what Jessica means, but isn't saying. Mm-hmm. That's not what Meisler wouldn't want them to create policies to ticket. For every story we hear about a couple like this, there are still like hundreds of people who are getting the abuse of law enforcement but not getting the help into housing, Meisler said. Good for her, for quoting him. Again, during the afternoon presentation, fellow city homeless outreach worker Jeremy Leonard, so apparently Hernandez was a homeless outreach worker and not a homeless person. Maybe she's homeless as well, but it's not clear. Which touches at least an estimated about 2,300 individuals countywide, 1,500 within city limits, according to a single day homeless point in time count in the February substance abuse count, including the often deadly fentanyl. Obviously an undercount, I would suspect. 50 separate overdoses have required a medical antidote in the past 2 years, many of whom can't get their, of course, overdose problem,
Narcan?
Thank you. Narcan. The Narcan that people could much more easily get in the Benchlands, but now I suspect is much harder to get. But I have not heard of an overdose epidemic, so I can't say that actually has been happening. Has anybody heard anything more about overdoses?
Yes, 3 people died on the list.
And were these people previously in the Benchlands, or were they?
I couldn't.
Okay. Were they people you knew before? Or did you know them at all?
I knew them periodically.
Did you have the impression that they were in the West Side for a period of time? Maybe you didn't know.
Yeah.
So
he died of fentanyl. Fentanyl overdose.
Yeah.
Fentanyl overdose.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. Again, maybe they would have been helped if they were in the Benchlands. Maybe not. Maybe it wouldn't have been helped. Or I would say probably would have been helped. They would have had access, I would think. Anyway, moving on from that.
There were also a couple of attempted suicides. At least one of my friends almost died, and then he went into some type of rehab for a while, changing his life.
How many deaths would you find by suicide and fentanyl in the last month, would you say?
Three.
Three deaths by fentanyl? Or?
I believe it was fentanyl, and we don't, some of them, it's hard to track some of this stuff down, because, you hear certain things, and fentanyl deaths, suicide, attempted suicide, several attempted suicides.
Okay. Leonard's report continues. Over time, as the camp became more entrenched, as the peripheral issues develop around substance use, which cause the most vulnerable to become victims of violent crime. Any comments or any additions to that in terms of violent crime in the Benchlands? I've heard both. I was protected by the Benchlands, and I was assaulted in the Benchlands. So I've gotten both kinds of perspectives and accounts. So,
you know, I've never heard one person, I have not heard one complaint that someone was assaulted in the Benchlands.
Have you talked to many people from the Benchlands?
Well, I would go there on a fairly regular basis just to run through and talk to different people that I knew and check things out, and also looking for stolen stuff, like if people would steal things, I would go there and find out if we could find them, you know, like my guitar and other stuff, you know.
Once a week, once a month?
I was usually there. Well, I had a couple friends down there, so I would usually go for quite some time, at least once a week.
Once a week, okay. Yeah. Interesting.
And no, none of the men, none of the guys, none of them ever talked about people getting assaulted there. Now, there were situations where men got in fights, and there's so many wee zussies that when they'll start a fight with someone, and then when they get beat up, they'll say they were assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
So
that happened.
That's most likely the so-called assaults that happened.
It's possible. I mean, I've gotten reports of people, a couple of women who said they were assaulted. I believe several said they were raped. But the kind of reports that Jeremy used to give out were about an indication of almost constant rape going on, constant assault, and he couldn't go down there because of the gangs that were controlling the drug trade. And so,
oh, that's ridiculous.
Which I never saw when I went down there, which wasn't as frequently as you, but it was occasional, and I talked to people who would go down there.
That's ridiculous. The thing you have to remember when you're dealing with a lot of these homeless drug addicts, meaning no disrespect to them, especially the females, they will scream rape on anything. You touch their shoulder like this, rape! And I've actually had girls do that before. Touch their shoulders, say hello. You want a hug? They start flipping out. And then they'll tell everybody that they did, you know, they were raped.
Pirates in jail for 5 years is what I heard.
Pirate? I already died. I already died.
Talking Marty.
Marty.
I've heard there's two different pirates.
Oh, what did you hear?
Two different pirates. The two different pirates that Marty is in jail.
Okay, so the one we know.
So Marty's in jail for 5 years?
Yeah.
What's his crime?
Rape.
Wow.
That was a recent rape?
Last year, I think.
Charming.
Last year?
Charming, he says.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I mean, both charming that that would happen and charming that he's jailed for 5 years.
They let people out all the time.
But, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I've got some pet peeves about California anyway. For example, like a woman with absolutely no evidence of her being beat by a man can get $1,500 and go into a woman's shelter and be coddled. And my ex-wife did that. And she got three child endangerment tickets when she took my kids. I spent 3 years in court to get my kids back. And I got custody. I had legal custody of them. These people, no other state, I've been across the country 4 times, no other state does that. Only in California.
Moving on with the homelessness report, because again, you're a biased source. You were impacted by this.
Yeah, you know, and I know others that have been as well. I know.
Hey, Savannah, grab an agenda if you want.
Had that similar problem.
And coffee, coffee's available. And any crunchies or munchies you want, grab that too.
It may be specific to.
And then, do you want to give a? Want to give
there
us
is a lot.
An email address again to put you. I know you have probably three times before. But you just tell it to me, and I'll put it on. And I should warn you, I'm recording for a possible. Come in. All right. Okay, so give me your.
You want to write it down here?
I didn't call you yet. I just been overwhelmed.
And do phone number too.
Yeah.
So this is Andrea and Suzanne, folks, for those who don't know. That's Andrea, that's Suzanne. If you don't mind my introducing the two of you, sorry. If you change your names. Okay, so talking about the city mangler's homelessness response that he gave along with some of his lieutenants on Tuesday at the city council meeting. This is a report in the paper which talks about some of it, mostly a long report by Jeremy Leonard, who doesn't have the highest credentials for some of us. On the other hand, some people were helped by Jeremy. I've heard reports of that as well, I got to say. There's no stats in this article about how many people were housed out of the benchlands, though I guess 170 people are staying on track, according to this, whatever that means. Of course, Housing Matters claims that when you get on their list, you're on track, I suppose.
What does that mean?
Exactly. I don't know what the hell that means. I mean, you know, I have no idea. We actually have a worker. Yesterday I was at a meeting, and so was Suzanne, at a meeting of the Homeless Union, and there was a worker there who works at the Housing Matters, 115 Coral Street. He's on the mailroom, and he could possibly give us a better report, but he's working now. He doesn't mind. He used to come to these meetings. His name is Kevin. But I can't tell you more details if he gives an answer to that question.
Can I just tell you something? There's an article.
You're asking or you're just announcing? Go ahead. What's the article?
There's an article that was in the Santa Cruz Sentinel yesterday written by Jessica York.
Is this the article that I'm talking about right now? Look.
Is it by Jessica York?
Yes.
Okay, that is
the one. Yes, he tried to tune in what we're doing.
Attention that we talked about the money that was allocated. They said $14 million, and they said they had budgeted or something $16.6 million or something like that.
They did. That's the last part of that story.
What are they doing with
that? Exactly. That's the question we always ask at these meetings and never get answered. Probably because in part we never...
Well, maybe find this woman at the Central and ask her.
Would you like to volunteer to do that?
I'll try.
Okay, yeah, give her a call and ask her where...
I'm that's living outside of this meeting. Just let me remind
you. I understand. Okay. That makes you one of three, Andrea. You're one of maybe four, actually. All right, so I was just reading this article, and as I was telling the group, Andrea, I'm going to be playing this whole report that he gave, which mentions these figures, but wait, thank you. I don't have, and this is what's most important, the stats that I think you're interested in and we're all interested in, which is how much was spent how, and how many people are actually out, and how, where have they gone. Those are the issues that I don't know are in this report, and I haven't seen as part of any addenda to the report. You wanted to say something?
No, well, we're just talking about this one couple that a social worker was able to get housing and follow their progress, and they were.
I just read this article. That's what we're talking. You mentioned that already.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying that was all it's talked about, and the frustration of not, you know, being able to accommodate, you know, most people and so forth.
Right. I mean, in other words, the misuse of the money so that it gets spent on a few people instead of on the many.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, one couple got helped. $14 million gone.
What are you saying, Suzanne?
One couple got helped, but $14 million gone.
Yeah, it's a sort of an expensive helping project.
Go ahead. So in the report, is like an hour, separate hour-long thing where it's this guy.
It's in the middle of the city council meeting. It's the last agenda item before oral communication in the afternoon, if you want to go on to the here to listen to it.
Okay.
Or tune in on my show. I may play some or all of it. I'm not sure. It's just, it's awfully, it seems long.
Yeah. They're responsible for keeping all of the information about what this thing is going on. But then my friend supposedly has gone to it and actually crunched the numbers that they have written out there, and he says it's not adding up. But I'll try and find out what the website is exactly.
Can you get more details and ask if she's willing to give us some information? Does she have a name that you want to...
No, let me talk to her.
Ask her. Yeah, thank you. So I'll ask. Oh, I may give you a call, and you were going to give me your number again. Sorry,
got it.
She's got it. Okay, good. I'll get it later. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So that was the. That's my apologies for not listening to this report as I probably should have and will later. If you want to read it, more of it, you can, because I've skipped some of it, not much of it. And I think Laura wanted to read some of it. She was there. You are. It's right there. It's available. Next up on this agenda, and we're not doing 7 minutes. Whoever's trying to keep.
I was going to tell you, but I didn't want to interrupt.
Oh, interrupt, please. Interrupt. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we'll go on. I'll go on forever, and so will everybody else. Mostly me, though. possible reports from. You're on the agenda, Suzanne. If you look at the agenda, your agenda item 3, Meta, Pam, and Suzanne. The reason I mentioned these three people is that Suzanne and Pam were at the union meeting yesterday and were talking about specific experiences they had, possibly more recent experiences, and the needs that they thought were important. Meta Self is a guy who showed up at City Council. He called me from the hospital 2 days ago. I don't call him quite incoherent, but I didn't quite understand everything he was saying. We tried to get back to him. They discharged him. But he was upset about police behavior in terms of a complaint about an assault by another, I think, unhoused person on him, and the police turned a blind eye or didn't give a shit or something like that. Suzanne, do you have any street reports you want to pass on?
I have asked permission because they just happened, so.
How about anonymous police reports?
There's a lot of power pushing going around with the sheriffs right now because they are trying to prove something. I guess that they're not afraid to go out without the streetlights. I'm not sure. but it's not that they're being brutal, but they're just kind of like pushing their way through it. Like if a person, you know, questions what they're doing, oh, you're resisting, and it's not resisting. They want to know what's going on, and they're not telling them as it's happening.
This is typical of the sheriff's department.
Yeah.
What part of the county?
Santa Cruz County. Cruz.
Just all over?
But I've noticed it in Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz City?
Yeah. Right on the outskirts of 9.
It used to be that you could mention Judge Yonks's name and pay them to get away with whatever you want. If they pulled you over, if they're, you know, and... Judge Yonks's son ended up shooting himself, and then he has another son that's crazier than a coon owl, and eat dead burnt bodies, Satanist type of guy, and he doesn't spend one day in jail. Judge Yonks recently died. He had a big power trip with all of the sheriffs, and one of the reasons why I know that is because his grandkids are my godchildren.
Hmm.
So maybe they need to bring back their police review board. So all I was thinking, you know, maybe we can opt towards that because there's some other things that have been going on too that they've cleared up in ways that they made people sign papers, but they can't be mentioned. You know, but they're not in jail and they're happy about that. So yeah. So we can't really bring those specific items up, but just knowing that they happened, you know. And
do you know if they were forced to agree to appear in court?
They were forced to agree that nothing happened.
That nothing happened.
And nothing happened.
And then, but there was no requirement to come to court.
Yes, they were required.
Still required to come.
Well, they had an outstanding warrant that they were running from. Not running as in they ran from the cops, but the guy was ill. I mean, like he couldn't really run. If they had really checked into it, they wouldn't know that. But
how many folks would you say this impacted?
I really don't know because people have been shut down on talking about it so much so that they'll mention a tiny bit of it and then they button right up because they don't want to go back to jail.
So the sheriffs are...
No, this isn't just the sheriffs. This would be the police also in this county.
Okay, so it's Santa Cruz police and county sheriffs up where, like, outside of...
Okay, so the county sheriffs are having... It's a whole different thing. They're doing a thing where it's not, like, brutal. It doesn't seem like it's brutal. They're just, you know, pushing their power. They're like, you know, you're resisting. Even the person's like, I just want to know what I'm being arrested for. Shut up. Yeah, turn around. Get up. Put in your cuffs. And no, I just want to know what I'm being arrested for. They won't tell the person what they're being arrested for, but then they give them a resisting charge. And it's
How long has this been going on?
I just saw one just recently, just a couple days ago, but that's what I'm waiting for. I've been telling them,
no matter what happens, turn on your phone and record what is going on.
They have phones, and they have people around.
Why do they not record it? Because that's the only way we're going to be able to fight back.
Well, yeah, it's just people afraid of the sheriff. The sheriff's kind of... It's hard
to do that when you're facing someone with a gun and a bunch of other backup.
Exactly.
On the other hand, if you do pull out a phone and appear to be recording, it may deter them somewhat. Or they may smash the phone. Yes, that's also possible. You know.
Or they call for backup and then everybody gets arrested.
Particularly good is you can call other witnesses who are not involved.
I want to get one of those
by.
Cams, you know, one of those small ones that you just turn on and I've got like on my hat or something like that. You can get those mini cams.
Yeah, but you know, it really helps. You'd be amazed if I just stand with the telephone, just stand by a bystander.
It doesn't matter whether
I've got the thing on or not. They're always treating people nice.
They haven't smashed your phone yet.
Nobody smashed my phone. I'm an old lady. I look like I'm housed, probably, maybe. They can't smash my phone.
It's funny, you see that kids, people trying to take back snacks, and you just point the cameras at us, and you just put the phone and phone back, and they go...
Any sweeps in the areas you've been around, Suzanne? Sorry.
That's
7 years.
Yeah, they sweep the parking lot because it was a big fire. But the main thing was the police. The police in this town, I'm not sure exactly which ones it is because, like I said, they won't talk about it, but there's been enough stories that there's something going on. They just started that again.
The reason why they just started it again is because we had a police chief from L.A. for about 5 years, and he was very cool. He was from L.A., and he had gotten shot at and shot back, and he was a very serious police officer, and he was very cool, and he kept all of the violence down for a long time. And in fact, I have quite a few homeless friends. Well, I have one for sure that was on his email list. The guy would email him once in a while. He was homeless. My buddy's older. He's 72, and he's homeless. And they would email back and forth.
We want to have. I take it we don't mind for another 5 minutes or something.
But he's gone now.
He's gone.
And they put in a new guy, and ever since they put in the new guy, I've gotten more and more and more. The reports of police brutality has been.
Yeah. I see that.
Things have
changed that too.
Mills, and now we have Escalante.
Correct. Although there was a guy in the middle, I think.
For temporary.
Yeah, I don't remember. Maybe it was Escalante. I don't know. Somebody.
There was actually a woman officer involved in one of them. Huh. She was there, and I don't know.
Well, I know Escalante is an old-time guy.
He's...
I didn't have much to say.
The Virginia Weed Police Review Board, and someone said they spent some of that money, the homeless money, on 30 new cops to help to keep the area safe because of the bench lines being shut down. Right. Now, I don't know how much truth there is to that, but if they're spending that money on that... just another person that was involved in the community stuff, that he said that he's been following them and that was what one of their excuses was for spending money. We need to find that website so you guys can look at it.
Well, I know they did transfer money from a building project for the Homeless Housing Now project to the Benchlands, quote, restoration project, $1.2 million, only a quarter of which went to housing stuff or... camping stuff or concentration camping stuff, whatever you want to call it. So, but let me roll forward here. Anything else, Suzanne, you want to say about anything else that's been happening?
The last one is that house across the street from the shelter. So like theories are going and stories are talked. $3 million supposedly they spent on restoring that house. Now, I don't know how we can find out if that's true, but that house isn't even owned by the city. I mean, why is the homeless money going towards that house?
Yeah.
Why is someone getting to invest all that money into a house? And, I mean, who's going to sell it eventually? I mean, that's a lot of money. And that means that property, you know, just boom in its price range, you know? Like, somebody made a lot of money off that, and it came to them that money. Supposedly, they're given that reason for being part of the project that they're doing across the street at the shelter, building that new building. And they restored that house for four people. That's all they could fit is four people in there.
Wow.
You know, Andrea was interested in the money being spent in the article that we mentioned on the Homeless Mangler quarterly report. If the two of you want to get in touch with each other about expenditures, because some of that money may be going to this project you mentioned, this $3 million thing.
Yeah.
To get more details, if you guys want to, if you feel like it, and you may have more important or better or more survivalish things to do.
We have a memorial coming up, and I would like to have some slogans or something. Put on signs that.
And I'll put that on the agenda. I thank you for telling me the homeless memorial was not put on the agenda.
And should be.
So I'm going to put it on the agenda. I'm going to put it on the right after what to do when the cop says move. Halfway down page one.
And I was reading, we had those signs. We talked about having signs.
We did, and I'm going to put
this one, but the one that they're having at the.
Right, and, I'll mention that.
Cool. When is that?
That's after update on what to do when cop says move, and that was.
When is the memorial?
The memorial is coming up next Wednesday. It's the 21st.
But there's two of them.
And the sign, there are two of them. And there's the sign making is the day before. And I believe it's noon at the town clock.
The memorial?
The sign making is at the town clock, which I encourage people to go to. But I'll mention it on the agenda again.
You don't know what time the memorial's at?
Yet. Memorial, I believe, is at 10 o'clock at the Vets Hall. And it's also at 2 o'clock at the Food Not Bombs meal. So two different memorials.
Okay.
Yes, and that's probably, I don't even have to bring it up again, but I want to bring it up because it was brought up at the union meeting and because you brought it up, Suzanne. One of the things that I was having problems with at the meeting yesterday was it was too tightly controlled, I think, by Elise for my comfort. And I'm controlling this meeting very tightly. I apologize if people want to, if they want to take, and I'm trying to leave openings for people, but I may not be successful. How am I doing, folks?
Good.
Better.
Very good.
All right. If you need more time, we could take a break. And also, I don't mind giving the chair over to somebody else for a while.
Can I ask a question?
But after you answer what I just said.
What did you just say?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What I just said was, how am I doing as far as to control in the meeting?
Very good. The meeting's going well. I think everyone's having a chance to say something.
Okay. Your question?
I was just curious. A lot of things were brought up, like, just for example, the what they want to do in Portland, like delegate some land and have homeless people, live there as a community. That's kind of what was going on at Bethesda's. They want to incorporate rules, which I think is important, and so people are complaining that it's too regimented. And I think Gloria also chucked
pass this
in
to Andrea.
Was,
it's about Portland. Andrea, this is about Portland. It might interest you to take a look at it.
And then, Gloria also said, oh, no, it's much too regimented. So, you and Gloria have a lot of information about the homeless. You've been working very particularly, with different issues for years.
This is a question or this is something
what
you want to...
What is your suggestion about a remedy in Santa Cruz?
You want me to put that on the agenda? Do you... Wait. Do you want me to put this on the agenda? Because this is not a question.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So I want to know what you and Gloria is suggesting.
Okay, so I'll put it on the agenda. My final solution to the homeless problem. Wait till you hear.
Every program, every move that the city makes is a criticism. Okay, granted. It may not be.
Okay, so Andrea, I'm interrupting you because we're going to put it on the agenda.
It'll be.
It's on the agenda and it'll be on after the memorial issue that you brought up, Suzanne. Will be coming up soon.
And one more thing on the agenda. I'm sorry.
Huh?
One more thing on the agenda about the pamphlets.
About the. Say it again.
The pamphlets for the benchlands, because that would pass out, have them fill out, and I can bring them back in.
Pamphlets for people in the benchlands.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'll put that after the final solution. Okay. Okay. And I don't think that the question is in any way irrelevant, but it's so broad, it's going to be hard to deal with. And moving along, though, I'll be getting your question, but I'll be getting to it. No. I don't want to argue about it. I'll talk to you about it. We'll put it on the agenda. It's on the agenda. It'll be coming up within 15 minutes, I guarantee. Yes. Sorry. Excuse me.
I want to make a comment about last night's meeting.
Okay. Well, that's on the agenda because it's now coming up. It's to the next agenda item. So, we were having doing Suzanne's report, and she.
Okay, so
yeah, let's do. All right, go ahead. Let's segue into the into the home about last night's meeting. There was a meeting of the Homeless Union last night. It lasted 2 hours. It was the second such meeting. What's your thought, QZ?
Well, Elise has a serious mental health issue, and she doesn't belong in that meeting, so she ended up throwing herself out. And that was, I thought that was a good thing.
So she's not going to be coming back?
I don't know. But she threw herself out. She said, goodbye, you know. She walked out.
Yeah, that's been my experience of Elise in the past.
You guys have a great thing going on here. What would your suggestions be for us there? Like when that happens, like, how can we leave the room for a little while?
And also you can leave the go out of the meeting and come back another meeting. I mean, this is a free form group to some extent. That's what I do here. People get pissed. People get angry with each other, and then they come back because we're concerned about the same issues. And it may mean sometimes we can't work together because the hostilities are so strong or the resentments are so strong. But, you know, usually it's and then we work parallel, hopefully, you know, at the same time. But I understand what you're saying, QZ. I mean, I don't write people off, and I'm not saying you're necessarily writing her off, but you're saying...
She wrote herself off.
Right, no, she got angry and left and felt there's always men dominating these meetings. Example, this meeting.
Oh, yeah, see, that was the words that she used that made it herself, you know, like, be reasonably, you know, give reason to leave. Because that's not the issue. We're not talking about dominance of men over women in the meetings. It's to help each other, right? We're trying to help the city.
Yeah, yeah.
So it seems like she has an issue that she needs to resolve with maybe you and whoever else she feels threatened by on the decision. Because who cares who gets the, you know, the praise for this?
Well, right, that's true. But on the other hand, if you're a woman and you're not able to talk because the chair is only recognizing the men, you might point it out and say, look, excuse me, I seem to be noticing a bias here. Can you show equal regard, at least pretend to show equal regard for the women, which for some of us macho guys is hard to do. And I'm talking about me as well, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
did
and you know,
say that Elise was running the meeting?
She was. And the thing about Elise is she put in the energy to create the meeting. Keith would not have done it separately, I don't think. It was her and Keith, because she called up Keith, she got the thing arranged. And just like in the Benchlands, she was trying to keep things going there. She's a passionate person who cares about these issues. But as you say, QZ, she's also very sensitive to needing to control in order to...
Do you have a mental health issue?
I presume I have a mental health issue for controlling things so tightly, too. I mean, and I understand what you're saying, Kizzy, but I don't want to write people off as having... Because that's what the authorities are going to do for homeless people. Mental health issue, addiction issue, mental health issue. As though that sort of answers all the reasons why they haven't got housing, and they don't have any medical care, so let's blame them for their mental health issues. You know,
well, Elise has housing, doesn't she?
I don't know. I think she probably does, but she's looking for a job, looking for work.
She comes and goes with open life.
Yeah, she does. Is that good, QZ? Did you say what you wanted to say?
Yeah.
The other thing about the Homeless Union meeting was there were some things proposed, some of which is Suzanne brought up, which is to say... I raised the issue a couple times about I don't think the Homeless Union is going to come together again unless there are a small core of people who are determined to keep doing it. And that means to me, before you hold another meeting, you find those people. Mm-hmm. You get a hold of Suzanne and say, Suzanne, have you got time to do this? How many hours a week do you think you can put in realistically when you're not busted or in jail or having your camp fucked up or whatever is going down?
Even interns would help too.
Yeah, and interns would help you. And indeed,
you know, that's a really smart idea.
I mean, yeah, and Food Not Bombs.
Two college students followed me around for 3 months one time, so then they could do their doctoral.
Right. And Food Not Bombs has those interns. Keith is simultaneously does Food Not Bombs. So in theory, he could try to direct people to the Union of the Homeless. I've been pissed at the Union of the Homeless for years, and Laura's also had some disagreements with them, you know, about how to deal with issues like suddenly, you know, amassing masses of declarations about homeless police abuse from the sweeps in the Ross camp and then the sweeps in the Benchlands and doing nothing with it. Or you know, calling in an attorney.
It's that simple. A tort is three pages. You could put it in a tort. The least amount of money you could ask for is $10,000.
You could do that, or you could actually do your own injunction. You see, you've been working on that, Laura, but through Robbie Paulson, you know, trying to find the way. It's not so simple, but it also isn't beyond the scope of being done because it was done by homeless people in other places. So that was the issue I brought up, and I couldn't get that issue to go. I really couldn't. I mean, I heard it was put into, oh, that's a general problem. We'll put that on the next agenda, or we'll talk about that later. That's an interesting thing to talk about. I don't want that talked about. I don't want to come to another meeting unless there are three people who want to organize the damn thing. And I wanted to ask, in the room, are there three people? And both Keith and Elise did not like the idea of my putting people on the spot that way.
Well, also putting other people in charge, and they kind of want to hold on to that.
And they thought, yeah, that too, but I also... And they had some legitimate concerns, you know, to actually do. Hey, Greg, welcome. Here's an agenda. They had some legitimate concerns that you can't. It's not easy to lead a meeting if you haven't, you know, done it before. That's not the agenda here. Let me give you an agenda. Here's one for you. So and so, but the point is that there was that dispute. Then passing beyond that, which we didn't really get very far with. I had suggested at the previous meeting we have weekly meetings so we could actually do something over the winter. If you have, because at the first meeting of the Union of the Homeless 2 weeks ago, there were about 20 or 25 people, I think.
30.
Were there 30? Thank you, QZ. And, you know, I thought if the people were really raring to go, that would be great. But on the other hand, they would not get into the leadership issue at that meeting either. And I didn't try very hard either because I didn't want to seem like a naysayer. You know, I always feel like I'm a naysayer. Because I only do this meeting, and I often, when somebody gets enthusiastic about doing something, I tend to back off because I know I'm not going to lead it, and therefore I don't want to seem like I'm pushing into the charge for people to go out there, homeless people, get arrested, have a lot of fun. You know, I don't want to do that. I mean, I want to be there doing it too if I have to, if there's a risk involved.
You used to do that.
I did. I used to do that. That's true.
I'm glad you're making progress.
Yeah, no. No, I'm not making progress. I'm just getting older. That's all. I'm getting older and I've got more medical conditions. I got to watch out. You know, but also, I'm also, you know, I mean, some of us get tired of doing this shit after a while and don't want to do it anymore. And that's, there may be an element of that for me too.
So can I have my 7 minutes?
No, you never can.
Okay. I would like to.
Well, wait, before you do though, because we're talking about the homeless union,
yeah.
The fourth item so far. Do you need to leave soon? I should ask you that.
Not that soon, but I'm dropping off a lot of. I've been doing that. A lot of warm clothing from my own business. I used to own a business for the Food Not Bombs, but they're going to be there till about 3.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have time. I'm good, but I also want to talk to some people.
When do you think you want to leave?
In about an hour.
Okay, well, I will try not to keep talking for an hour at this point.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, because a lot of issues
great, yeah, yeah.
Are not okay. My number one concern.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have to say...
Well, you are trying to provide actual services to people, and that you
I
have
do
to balance.
I have.
But what I am trying to do is get through this series.
Okay, that's
so I'm going to do that.
Thank you.
Okay, so...
Doing a good job.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'm babbling away. Homeless union, again, in terms of... I want to say also the other things that were discussed were a homeless memorial, because 2 weeks ago, they just wanted to hold a homeless union meeting in a month. And I thought, what the hell is going to happen? There's no shelter over there. There's no winter shelter. If you're going to have a homeless union, do something during the winter.
Oh, yeah.
And so they grudgingly agreed to have another meeting. Actually, it wasn't grudging.
Is it worth going there?
Yeah, that's the question. Well, the next meeting, we don't know when it's going to happen. I think he said it's going to be sometime in January. Did he give us a date? I don't recall.
It sounded like the first.
Sounds like the 5th?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, well then maybe that's when it is, Helga. January 5th, and that would be... January 5th. I think he was uncertain because there was a question of whether it was Thursday or Wednesday.
It was
meetings or, you know, meetings or meetings. The point is be use meetings to plan actions, in my view, not to, you know, form a union. Well, that's nice. You form a union. What the hell does that mean?
So they're not meeting again until the 5th of January?
I don't know even if they are. What 5th of January, is that a Wednesday? Do we know?
The next week I'll be on Monday. I'll know then.
Okay.
Thursday.
It's a Thursday?
Yeah.
So it's a Thursday meeting, and that would mean I probably won't be coming because I got two other meetings, this meeting and...
Well, maybe it's scheduled for the 4th.
Maybe it's... Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, QZ will know...
They just decided to change the day on it. Like,
yeah, they weren't sure about the day. Because, again, it was... See, I think they're holding these meetings like I'm doing these Huff meetings as placeholder meetings.
Yeah, yeah.
We usually... No actions come out of our Huff meetings.
Yeah.
And if you're having a union of the homeless and the real homeless people involved with real needs... And there are some homeless people involved, admittedly, five of you now,
yeah.
Or four or five. That stuff that you know, the idea is to have the people run the meeting who are the fucking homeless people, not some clown in a building who's, you know, doing an ego trip. Or
I think the things going on really help me. I think that a lot of people get helped. A lot of issues get resolved and talked about. And I think that we... not only educate ourselves, but we also bring this information out to other people. I think that we absolutely do.
Great. I'm glad to hear it. I hope that's true. Yeah, excuse me.
Okay, so this Monday meeting, I'll be going to that, and I'll find out when the next union meeting will be.
And you can tell us it next week.
Right. And
from who? Who are you finding out for your son?
Keith will be at the meeting. It's a Food Now Bombs meeting.
It's mainly the person that everybody's talking to.
Right. If people are interested, Food Not Bombs meets every Monday at 5 o'clock at the RCNV. If you want to go there, and I think they're open meetings, are they not? So you can go to the Food Not Bombs meeting.
That's
meeting. Everybody can go to the Food Not Bombs.
I know, I keep going.
I remember. I mean, I wasn't there, but I heard about it.
I haven't been sent because I don't feel like getting thrown out.
Right. So in any case, but he will know at the next meet. He will know at the next meeting what's going on.
A meeting could be changed on Monday.
So anyway, we'll find out at Monday. From you, we'll find out what next Thursday. We'll find out.
Right.
Okay. So. That there also we talked about a memorial which is coming up on this agenda that we want to have around the homeless dead that's going on, some kind of action. And Suzanne, you proposed having signs with slogans, and I mean, I would like to see if we had the person power to do even more, but that's something at least, you know. And so that's going to be coming up. That was decided on, but
they wanted attention about the fact that people are cold right now.
Right. Well, you know, and yay, they're cold. Here's a sign. Now we go home. You know, I mean, I don't know if that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you know,
like,
it's better than nothing, I suppose.
Well, I mean, just let them remember that there are people out here that are still freezing because of the vigilance they should.
Right. What you want to do is you want to do it in a meeting where the media is forced to see it. And I guess maybe at the memorial they will.
One of the things
you're after him.
One thing we can do is we can buy these bins or just get bins they're like a 50-gallon bin. The natural food place but they're called warm bins. And so the big natural food places, you put the warm bin out there, and people come by with all their old stuff, and they just throw all the old stuff into the warm bin, and they leave them open. So anybody can go and get, if I'm freezing to death and it's been raining and I'm wet and soaked, you can go to the warm bin and grab stuff out of the warm bin.
So I'm going to suggest that we have a speak out segment of this memorial where you can come, for example, and make these kinds of suggestions to people as to what they can do. Suggestions for people on the streets who know how to survive the cold makes a lot more sense. if there's going to be no action to try.
There are no warm bags.
Well, then there's not.
There's a call that's gone out around the county. People are calling for donations and for warm clothes. And one of the things that we could do is send out email requests.
Yeah, but okay, so here's all this stuff. Here's all this stuff.
And then people
have to do this extra stuff in order to email this and that and make certain donations. But if you just have warm bins, when they're going to the store, they're getting something in the store, oh, warm bin. I'll bring my own stuff and I'll drop it in.
You say there aren't any warm bins.
There aren't.
So why are you bringing it up?
Well, because we could make warm bins.
Okay, so
that's what we should do.
Yeah.
Okay. So make warm bins. All right, so let's consider that.
For people to come and put the donations in.
Yeah.
And then other people can take them out. So you know that at different times during the day, we have tables where people donate, donate clothes and stuff. And what we really need, though, is we need people to donate money so that we can buy sleeping bags and tents. And so I think Food Not Bombs is trying desperately to raise some funds.
Well, why cannot Huff get funds to have warm bins set up in different places?
If you can get the funds, that's what we have to do.
Well, we don't even need that much money. All we got to do is get a big bucket. Put the big bucket out there that says warm bin. Boom.
I don't know what you mean. You mean a bucket for money or a bucket for clothes?
For the clothing, but then also you can put a thing on it, you know, if you want a tax deductible donation, donate to us for, you know.
Okay, Gibbs, you got to raise your hand. You're interrupting a lot. You too, Laura. Okay. QZ and then Suzanne. Go ahead.
Last night's meeting was, there's one thing that really... Keith's plan, his harassment tactics. That was really good. That I think we should follow through on that one.
What's that?
I was surprised that Keith even came up with that.
He was talking about camping at the vice president's home of Google, and he also talked about something other. In other words, or
that big monstrosity at. The corner?
I think it's his, the private residence of the person is what he was talking about.
That was for the attorney for Google.
Anyway, I'm not proposing this as something to do. I'm saying that this is what... Is that what you were talking about, harassment tactics?
Keith's idea of harassment tactics, I think we should follow through on that.
I think harassment tactics should be used against staff members of the city who are either facilitating the sweeps or not providing the kinds of facilities for homeless people that need to be provided in the winter crisis. And I mean, if this Huff meeting wants to really get into that, I'll start researching it for the next meeting and try to get a flyer together about it, except that I have these memorial things to think about. We have this bin proposal that you've just put forward, Gibbs. And Andrea had a proposal, which she's still here.
I'm just saying that the harassment tactics should take priority.
Harassment tactics. Well, we can vote on that too. I mean, we can decide what we want to do.
I can't believe Keith even came up with that.
No. He's done that in the past.
Okay, that's good.
So well, I mean,
if we voted after the Google people. What do we get? What are we asking them for?
He explained everything at the meeting.
Well, that's what we'd have to do. We'd have to have a specific series of demands, and the demands against who? Whether it's Google or the city or the county or everybody. But I mean, let's have Suzanne was going to speak too. We have two proposals right now, and you have questions about that proposal. Yeah. But I want to know what Suzanne is because she was next on the stack, and you did raise your hand. You bad girl.
We were talking about. Doing that the whole harassing thing, and they were talking about staying at certain places. And that's the one of the city halls. I mean, I think personally, it got a lot of attention, but not enough attention. So, like, if we were going to do that, then we would need to hit multiple areas. I think and do have like some people stay here, some people stay here, some people stay here, so that everybody's noticing, like, all at the same time. And people are like, why is there all these people staying in these weird places? All together. Like, what are they standing for? What do they want? What do they need? And maybe we could get their attention that way, This is what he's been. Yeah, I personally
actually have a problem with chaining myself to a building. Like, I can't go to jail, and I have a lot of things in my life that I'm trying to get moving forward on, and that was certainly. But the camping I can do.
So a lot of that is contingent. Are you calling on me, by the way? Because you were speaking. And again, I think, okay, to do that, we would need to have people who are committed to risking arrest.
Yeah, yeah.
And risking arrest is not the same thing as being arrested, but it is risking arrest. And that would mean, for example, probably a support system whereby, Keith was talking about bail. I never involve in bail myself in any arrests. I assume I'm going to, you know, be OR'd out eventually. I see you, Ibs. So that's what I do. You risk arrest and you go around. You don't waste money by spending money on bail. But Keith has a disagreement on that, and we can all disagree. But what you have to have are people who are willing to have their stuff looked after while they're arrested. So there has to be some agreement on that. And that involves organization. That's the kind of thing Elise was talking about in terms of having an organized union. And that is what's important there. So... If you can talk to people who you think might be up for, if not risking arrest, supporting, like going to the people who are going to be arrested and being agreeing to, on that day to hold their stuff temporarily. That could be housed people or other unhoused people.
That part I don't think I'd be very successful on, not having people hold stuff because the thieving is going on around.
That's another issue, for sure.
But if you get given me a place and time, and I can get people there, they will go and they'll camp wherever you tell them. You have groups. I'll be there.
Okay, well, start talking about, see what the general feeling is. And you have my phone number, right, or do you not? 423-4833 is my number, 423-HUFF. I believe Gibbs was next, and then did you want to say something, Rita?
Well, I just had a question.
But Gibbs is next.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You want a question, direct question to her? Or?
Well, are people thinking about... Like, is the goal to plan, like, a direct action that's happening? Or is it to, like, get out information of how you would deal with harassment or, like, tactics passing out to people? Like, is it more of wanting to get out information or to, like, do something together?
See, that's the core problem that we had at the meeting is that there's different agendas for different people. And
right.
The one girl wants political power to be, you know, built up so we can force the hand of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other person just wants to harass them so that they want to give up and get rid of us and stop the harassment and give us what we want.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like what you just said. You need the demands first. What are our demands that we're actually asking for? And that's part of your biggest job right there. But I think you do the best of that. You know, you gather up information, you figure out what we need.
Gibbs?
Yeah.
Two things. Mm-hmm. One, people, for some reason, forget what a tort is. Civil harassment torts. Mass civil harassment torts, they can be leaned against any government agency. And if there are several people that do it, and you have witnesses, bang! The least amount of money you can ask for is $10,000. So, and every time I come up with the torts, every time I get the torts and the writs and the civil harassment laws, all my stuff gets stolen. Boom!
Yeah.
It's almost like... It's like somebody's paying somebody to get my stuff there, you know. And this last time, I had all my medicine wheel stuff and everything, and I was doing medicine wheel and Ohlone Indian Awareness on the west side.
Remember, this is homeless union discussion.
This is the other thing.
Yeah.
I don't understand why we don't bring information to the college students. You would be blown away at how encouraging these guys are. The college students, a lot of them are really awesome people, and they will do something.
You two need to talk to each other if you want to. This is a supposed college student. Are you a
supposed?
He's going to UCLA.
Very much going. I'm a grad student.
I haven't seen her in the classes room, but I assume that's the case.
Oh, I've been looking for the name of the political science professor, the female. She, during Take Back Wall Street, she had asked me to represent Santa Cruz County, and I was not ready to do such a thing at the time.
town. Yeah. But I've been trying to get a hold of her and find her once again. I'm sure that she'll remember me. I would like to be able to indoctrinate her, help it with up and everything.
So I'm going to close this down and ask Thomas to really say 7 minutes. We're not doing 7 minutes.
Yeah, I can't. It's hard for me to even keep track of what's going on here. It's going all over the place.
Yeah, it's true. If we start talking on an item on 7 minutes, just say 7 minutes. Whatever we're talking about.
I haven't gotten any 7 minutes.
Okay, so we're ending the homeless union. We said a lot about it. We'll be saying more probably. Is it okay to move on to the next item? Unless, Kizzy, do you have anything you want to say? Are you good?
Yeah. Could I just give in whatever I have to say? It's brief.
Okay, well, I'll ask. Any problem with Ursula getting a
Helga?
Special...
Just, Helga?
Helga.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
I don't care. Okay. Yeah, thank you.
All right,
thank
so
you.
Thank you,
okay,
Kizzy.
Thank you. Well,
this is a Felton update on the agenda.
Yeah, I'm just saying that I think we should really, my own feeling, my own heart feeling, we have to get the most important things for the poor homeless done, which is they're all freezing.
Yes.
In Felton, they're so cold. They live by the river in their tents. They got swept away by the rain, that 3-day-long rain. Mm-hmm. And they, if they try to hang out at the resource center, the new manager, Heidi, called the sheriff on them. The sheriff did not send them away. So now what they did, Heidi, the manager,
of what?
They, the resource center, she made a piece of paper. She made something that, and gave it to the homeless people to sign. And what it says, I was going to bring the guy here, Eric, my guy who helps me, who has the paper. It says they have to obey the rules. If they don't obey the rules on the piece of paper, they will be banned for 5 days. And the person that I take care of a lot, which is Eric and then Evan, they got the paper.
Do you have a copy of it?
Eric was going to bring it, but Eric is a little bit out of...
Get a copy to me later.
There is a copy. And he refused to sign it because it says something. If you hang out at the resource center, after time, when they're gone, they're going to be banned. And so one of them was already banned. They do have showers now, but they cannot charge the phone outside if you sign that piece of paper, because that means after they leave, they cannot. That's the only place they can charge. Few people have a phone, and they cannot charge it. And now the sheriffs are coming. Maybe twice a week, 3 times. Eric got searched maybe twice a week. And they search him, and then they let him go. But they harass him. They have nothing on him. So what I would like to see happening is checking on the resource center and see who is in charge of that darn thing. Mm-hmm. You know, how can they print out the papers, having them signed it, so they will not be able to come for 5 days, whatever, no matter how little, whatever they do, walking by, trying to charge, or hanging out when they were swept away, they hung out underneath the big awning. That's when they called the sheriffs, the manager, and the sheriffs let him go. And then they made the paper. So that says you cannot hang out here.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Are you finished?
Is there room inside? People can't go inside the research center to warm up?
Oh, no. There is actually not, there is no warm-up center in Felton. There is room, they can use the computer a little bit here and there. They choose who they let use the computers. They are in control. Who can go in? No warm-up center when they were all soaking wet from that darn sweet.
How many people are affected by this?
Oh, maybe 20, 30. Mm-hmm. You know, and some of them don't even come out after... they got all wet. They tried to dry their things in the laundry mats. They have a dryer at the resource center. I don't think they let them use it. They let them use the shower twice or three times a week. Yeah, finally. But they have dryers also, and they won't let them use it. So a lot of them don't have any cash to go to a regular dryer. Mm-hmm. They have no way of getting dry clothes back on them. You know, so I try to help with great hair, buy things up with my own money, and give them new sweatpants and whatever. You know, I'm doing a lot of my own. Yeah, I'm good.
I think there. You were thinking of the electrical stuff. I mean, I suggested this to Gloria, which is I usually was every other Thursday. There's a long line of people who are. I would suggest that we create a petition that itemizes these problems and says that we, the recipients of aid from the resource center, and a lot of people are housed to get aid. That doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If they're in line for food.
Yeah.
Urge the resource center to consider the following: do A, B, C, and D, and then go through this list. I can't do it probably because this is on Thursday, and I'm going to be coming down here to do this. But have someone you know, or you do it,
okay,
or somebody.
Do what? How do I?
You just go through the list with a pen, and you say, we're trying to encourage the resource center to expand its facilities, or at least to open up its facilities. People are freezing in the winter, and this is a way of, to some extent, disarming the resource center from getting defensive, because you're not attacking a particular person, though perhaps you should be, because it sounds like particular people are making these choices.
Yeah,
you know, who run this place.
Yeah,
but still, you are getting the power of a public opinion, and of course, you're going to have people who will say, "I don't want to risk my food."
No. They all. You know,
but you're going to find other people who feel strongly about this, who will say, "I want to get my food donation, and I'll do this anyway because." I mean, they may not even know the names of all these people in line. Do people have to sign up their names in this food donation thing, or can they just get food?
Yeah, they have to show something and have their name. They have their names. But they know me. The people who run the resource center, they know me. Mm-hmm. In Heidi, I talked to the new manager.
Well, you can propose this as a... This could be a moderate kind of petition where you're simply saying, we really urge the resource center to do A, B, C, and D.
Why can't we just give them... The manager and the people who work there, why can't we give them a piece of paper that tells them you cannot do that?
I would like an extension of the time on this issue. How do people feel? Any objection to an extension of 5 minutes on this?
Why can't we make them send them something, the managers?
Well, of course, you can do
that's
that.
That's because I cannot go
can,
in the
room. They can say, this is our private property. We make the rules here. These homeless people are vandalizing. They are dirty and stinky. We need our government grants. They can have 100 excuses. That doesn't mean you shouldn't do that. However, you might want to first, if you get a lot of people in line saying that there is a problem here, that you know, that would be a good idea if you did.
They don't care.
Have you talked to them?
I know a lot of them in line. They do not want to, first of all, jeopardize their... I talked to the people before who served the food.
Okay, well then
that's not a good idea. I think directly somebody needs to directly.
Hang on a second, Laura. Go ahead. Finish up first.
Somebody needs to directly send the management something that they are doing something illegal. They cannot give the homeless people a piece of paper making them sign that will tell them they cannot come
illegal.
If they overstep any of the rules.
Why do you
if
say...
They plug in,
okay, Laura's next, but I want to say it's not illegal to do that.
Is it a non-profit? Who runs who's in charge of the research?
It's a non-profit.
Okay, you know what we need? We need the name of the non-profit, and we have to go to this county and say to the county that this nonprofit is operating wrong, and we can. So that's
find out the name of
who the nonprofit is. Yeah, I know it's nonprofit. I just okay.
So we
and yeah, the name of the people that you know are in charge of who, however much.
Yeah, they're doing whatever they want to. There's no control over them.
But there is. Okay. Somebody's funding them.
Helga.
And we'll go to the people who are funding them.
And why are they having a resource center if they're doing that to people? I don't understand.
Yeah, that was
you what?
What kind of resource center is it?
They give out food.
Okay. No. The food is a separate thing.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
the food is a total volunteer thing. It has nothing to do with the resource center.
They don't do it.
Nothing to do.
So what resources do they give?
that's a good question.
What they do.
Okay.
I've argued with those people. I'm tall, blue in the face. All they do is they tell you, here's a list of your resources. They, you sit down with someone. We'll sometimes keep you on SSI if you need it, or sometimes they'll help you slightly with that kind of stuff. That's
I know
it.
Exactly.
And you have a computer. And you know, a bowl of fruit once in a while or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's
no,
like
they don't do anything.
They really don't. They don't do shit.
They don't do anything. I told you that a long time ago.
I think Laura's suggestion is an excellent one.
Yeah.
And we actually talked about this before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And you were going to get some help from somebody here. I think it was Laura Tucker who was going to help you.
Well, I'm in contact with her.
And I was going to write up something for you when I got. I don't know, you remember, Gloria, what the story was?
You were going to wait for her to call you, Helga to call you.
Yes.
And you would write it up and send it to Laura, who would submit it then.
And I think you called me, and I interviewed you, but it was a broader interview.
Yeah.
It wasn't really about this particular issue.
Helga was sick for 3 weeks.
Yeah. Helga, not Ursula, but Helga.
I was sick for 3 weeks, and I'm back here, and I'm fired up because
good for you. Good
because
for you.
I take one of the homeless people into my house and let him sleep in my spare bedroom for 2 or 3 nights while one of them, Eric, my helper, while it was raining. But I know all the misery that's going on from Eric. I know how horrible it is by the river. Okay.
We don't want to go too beyond being
okay.
I would suggest that you get in touch with Laura after this,
and
that Laura either get in touch with me or do it herself, which is.
I need to phone
up also, before you go out anywhere, I also suggest that if this food donation is separate from the Mountain Community Center, they might be interested in supporting you. Believe it or not.
No.
Maybe not.
Okay. No, I don't believe
because
that.
If they're not going to,
they're all suffering. All of them are suffering.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, that's the point.
The food
people who are suffering may have a concern for other people who are suffering. It sometimes happens that way. So anyway, sometimes it doesn't. So there's that issue. Now let me see if I get on to the next thing. Is there more on this issue people want to talk about or suggest to the folks?
Okay.
And I'll move on. Try another 7 minutes, I guess. Graduate student strike update from somebody named Rita.
We now have a meeting.
I don't know who I am.
I'm sorry.
So there's now been appointed a mediator.
Okay, guys, if you're going to talk, go outside, please. Outside, please, if you're going to talk. I mean, keep talking, but don't.
Finish. Done.
Oh, good. Okay. I mean, don't stop. I mean.
No, I did.
No, we'll try.
Okay.
We're talking about how hard it is to figure out who's. The resource, who really is funding the resource center?
I believe you're talking about productive things. I'm not saying anymore.
Yes, but the reason why I'm repeating it to you is because you might have better luck than either of us.
And repeat it to me later when I catch your pay some attention.
Yeah, we will. Okay.
Unless you think.
Yeah, he's probably.
I'm
more.
Sorry, my mind's running. The Rita's.
Good. Yeah, we're moving on to the next.
The student strike that is now in the hands of the mediators, you were saying?
Yeah, so now. There's a mediator who is the mayor of Sacramento, is our like official mediator. All of the meetings with him are closed, like he's not allowing them to be open, so only our bargaining team is able to attend. And a lot of like the decisions being made by the bargaining team have kind of been split between like a group of 10 people and a group of 9 people. So there's like a lot of tension between those two groups right now. The UC has proposed like wage increases and like a new contract for people,
But a lot of people are against what the UC has proposed because it's like significantly less than what we were fighting for, and there's no adjustment for the wages based on inflation. So people are worried that it's like once we actually get to the wage increase that they're mentioning, which will happen within 2 years, that by the time we are actually making that much money, inflation will have increased enough that we're basically making this just same amount of money or just a little bit more than we're already making now, and that like landlords will be aware that we've gotten this raise and we'll just raise our rent so that we're still the same amount of rent burden. So a lot of people are like really frustrated, but I think that we're waiting for like an official announcement or proposal from the UC, and then the whole rank and file, all the members of the union have to vote on it. And so we'll see what the members vote, whether we'll continue to strike, or if people will like start striking on their own separate from the union.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm wondering, you say that what they've offered right now is within 2 years you get a raise that is, what will it be in 2 years?
So the raise, so currently we're making about $24K over 9 months, and the strike was asking for $54K over 9 months, like a really big increase, and the UC has countered that with us making $34K over 9 months, but that we'll get to the $34K by October 2024. So we'll get a $10K increase within the next 2 years. But they also don't say how much of that will be like immediate, how much of it will be over the next year. So
thank
people
you.
Also.
Bye, everyone. I'm sorry to interrupt. I have to go.
Okay. Stay in touch with Laura.
I am. We are. Okay. Thank you.
And call me too if you want.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Yeah, so we don't know how much will actually be, but I think once the UC makes an official proposal, that'll probably be, like, fleshed out, but I don't think we have to wait for them to do that and within the mediator meetings that are closed so members aren't able to attend, and then we have to wait for, like, the update from
them.
What's the likely
time when that's going to happen?
I think grades are, what day is it today? Grades are due next week, so I think like within the next week the UC will probably want to try and get a contract passed, but I don't know how long the process will take for like us to vote on it, them to like officially propose it and things like that.
Good?
Why are they closing the meetings?
Because people
are so passionate about it?
People want to have open meetings because they're like, why can't we be there? The last thing that I heard is like the mediator is worried about things leaking to the press that are being said in the meeting, so he wants them to be closed. Even though we get like a word-for-word transcript of everything that happens after. So it's very weird. It's very strange. And then part of the contract, too, that they're proposing is like San Francisco, Berkeley, and L.A., their schools get a higher contract than we do. So they get like over $36K because apparently it's because of their like special kind of rent burden because of how expensive it is to live in those cities. So it seems like they don't count Santa Cruz, even though Santa Cruz is more expensive than all three of those cities. Yeah. So I don't really know what that's about either.
So how much time I got left on this?
About a minute.
Okay. I was going to suggest, Suzanne, and maybe to you, Rita, that the reason they're closing the meetings is they don't want the pressure from the mass group to influence. They can more easily manipulate the bargaining group than they can manipulate the mass of people who will be calling for stronger protections for the original deal. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, I think. I mean, I think that's why they're closing. Like officially, why they've closed the meetings. There isn't any. They haven't officially said it's because they're afraid of all the members. But I think that's, to me, it's obvious that that's what it is, and that it seems like the bargaining team is I don't really know how to phrase it, but people are really frustrated with the bargaining team, and the bargaining team is being like what I think very patronizing to a lot of the members, and they'll like, we have caucus meetings with them, and it'll fill, we do Zoom meetings, and so the meetings fill up in less than a minute with over 1,000 people, and will be like closed because Zoom meetings can't hold over 1,000 people. And then there's like multiple other groups that you can join that are like overflow. Like there are thousands of people coming to these meetings, and the bargaining team will often like tell, like, give people time limits on how much they can speak. They close the meetings and open them again because they don't like the way that people are getting angry at them. They are, like, saying that people are bullying them and that, like, it's, like, undemocratic and all this stuff. So the bargaining team, to me, seems, like, very, very sensitive. And so I imagine that they, too, don't want the rank and file members there.
So.
Huh? Who is it?
Yeah,
there's representatives from each campus, and then the members elected them. But it's also like I didn't participate in that election because I'm a new student. So it's also just like it's also something that happens like in place over years. Yeah, sorry. Okay. I know my time's up.
That was 7 minutes.
Okay, so I assume we're going to continue on. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, next is sweep warning reports and warnings. Any warnings of new sweeps? Or reports of sweeps in the last week that you know about, anybody knows about?
We were given a dumpster that was on Highway 9 that, there's different stories of what they were said when it was dropped off. We also had a couple people die, or for sure one person died that they know about. So, anyways.
Name of the person who died?
It was a Mexican guy that we didn't really know. He just moved in up above by the tracks, and I guess he was found to be dead. Freddy. It was another Freddy guy. So they could put the dumpster down there, I guess, for us to clean up his stuff, is what somebody was told. I don't really know who told him that or why they
came. How many people in this encampment?
It was just one in his encampment. Yeah, somebody found him in his tent. Mm. Anyways, that was said that they were just wanted us to take his stuff and throw, you know, get rid of it and clean it up. And but it was a huge dumpster. I mean, like, I don't know. And then there was other stories that other people were saying that were probably more of the community that actually are in houses saying that they were following and they were kind of had a guide on who they were sweeping. And it was like going to be the Hoganips after Highway 9, but then they had that fire in Hoganips. And they decided to move people out of there. So they sweeped that area. But they only went so far because they found out that there was a bunch of garbage back there and they didn't want to deal with the price of having to take their garbage back out. So they stopped at a certain point and said to those people, go ahead and stay. We're not going to kick you out. Which makes me wonder, you know, like, what is that?
Living garbage.
Yeah, living garbage. Yeah, exactly. So why are they giving us a dumpster? We don't clean it up, guys. Don't do it. So we've been trying to clean up the ground down there and just fill up the...
How many people in that encampment generally?
Generally, I mean, before the benchlands? Before the benchlands, there was probably...
No, right now.
Yeah, right now, it's been probably three times the increase. We've got
Which would
people,
be?
Well, they moved us from across the street where we were all settled in, and then moved us across the street where we kind of like, we were given only a couple days to move everything really quickly. So it was like, since then, my life has been chaos. But they moved me, I was able to move across the street. I had five cats and right now two roosters, but... Long story short, basically we've moved so fast that there was no way to keep our productivity of being, you know, like stable. So like we've been struggling through that, and now all these benchland people just moved into all of our spots that we all were living in, that we all had worked on, that we've been living there for quite, you know, like a over
the
year.
The spots you moved out of?
Yeah, that they moved us out of. Now all the benchland people have moved into those spots.
How many people have moved into the new spots, and how many people have moved into the spots you moved out of?
Into the new spots. Oh, the new everybody that was on that side of the street.
Which would be how many?
What street is it?
I'd say probably
nine,
close to 30 people.
Highway 9, we're just talking about. 30 people. And how many people moved into those spots, would you say?
And that moved into the old spots?
Yeah, old spots.
Yeah, they're all getting filled up. And there's even more people now.
So even more than 30 moved in.
Yeah, and they're completely like out in the open. I mean, you can drive down Highway 9, you see all these tents everywhere. I mean... It's just overkill. It's the only place they're allowed to.
Do you want to tell publicly where you are, or shall I get that on the down low?
Well, I don't know when they're coming to sweep us, but people are saying that they're coming soon.
Has anything been posted? Any postings?
No. They haven't said anything or anything.
Did they post before when they swept you across the highway?
Yeah, but usually they post us and then they put the dumpster in like the next day. But this time they put the dumpster in and no posting. So we were all kind of,
right.
What's going on? And then we heard that they had the fire in the Poconos, so it kind of deterred them from.
So before they posted you?
Before they posted us, they would put the dumpster in. Like the night they put the dumpster in, the very next morning they gave us the notices.
There were no. Do you have a copy of any of these notices?
We don't have the notices now because they haven't given us new notices.
But do you have any of the old notes?
I think actually I have a friend who has a copy.
You can't give me one. I'd like to see it.
Yeah, I will.
Okay, how long ago was that sweep?
I mean, that sweep was for the tree work that they said they had to do. Mm-hmm. And then they, it turned into a whole bunch of different things where there was actually, they had their own agenda of the people that were working on.
Your estimate on when that happened? A week ago, 2 weeks ago.
No, this was months ago. Yeah.
Months ago.
Months ago.
Was that when the bench lines was still operational?
Yes. Bench lines was still operational.
So you aren't from.
I think they were trying almost to force us to the bench lines, but we all have animals that were living out there. That's why we were out there. So we couldn't come into the bench lines. I mean, I have five cats. It's not going to work with the dogs running around all off leashes. They would all have been killed. I mean, and the people that did have their cats at that park, they actually did lose their cats. It's sad. You know,
so this new movement into the area that you had taken happened around the same time the benchlands was dispersed, or it happened long before?
Long before. Now we were waiting for them to like get a sweep so we could actually move back to our spots because that's kind of how they made us feel like it was going to be. but then they eliminated the benchlands and they all just washed into there. So now it's all full again.
But no new notice of the sweeps in the last week, mm-hmm. And no new sweeps that actually happened in the last week.
Just a big dumpster.
Okay, anybody, Greg, any notice of sweeps that you've heard of?
No.
And what about you, QC, just anything spot, you've heard
yeah,
about?
They just move us from all different spots all the time, every morning.
Okay.
And whenever, I've just been at the parking lot at the library, mm-hmm. And if somebody calls in on us, then the cops will come out and say, oh, we have to be here, somebody call, and just try to keep things.
Dreamcatcher is also there?
No, I saw him downtown. I haven't seen him at the library.
Okay.
There's a few people in cars, and then just two or three of us, four of us. Meadow was there last night, a couple nights he's been there.
All right. I hear he spoke at City Council. That's right. But on Tuesday was the city council.
I was at the city council meeting kind of late. I just saw
oral communication.
Saw the speech by Fred.
4:30. They are changing the oral communications time all around. So I never know when it is. Unless you get the agenda beforehand. So any other sweeps? Gibbs, any sweeps you know of?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay, good.
That's 7 minutes.
Okay.
Is that a Nenish camp that the one at the library?
No.
It's just you'll find people camping there, though.
Yeah. Some people will be in nearby apartments.
Okay, the next garages. One is the memorial, which we put ahead to you to hear. And, Andrea, your thing is coming up soon, but not quite yet. Memorial is coming up, as I said before, next Wednesday. There are two memorials. One of them is at the Vets Hall, 10 o'clock, it's the official city, oh, we're so sorry, now go out and freeze for a while. Mm-hmm. And the other one is Funa Bombs, oh, we're so sorry, we lost all the declarations, but we'll feed you. Just find your own shelter, you know.
At noon?
That's going to be, the Funa Bombs is at 2.
And the 10 o'clock one, where is it?
That would be at the Vets Hall.
Is there no longer the warming center?
The warming center, it does exist, but it only exists on a certain number of days, and that we don't know when, depending on the temperature.
Yeah, because they took away the donation barrels from these stores.
Interesting. Thank you. So this memorial that's coming up, that's the agenda item we're on right now, is you suggested last night, Suzanne, and we agreed, all seven of us, or however many have remained from the massacre from 30 people previously, the evacuation of the homeless union. We agreed that some of us will come and make signs the day before, which is on Tuesday, and we would show up at the town clock at noon, Tuesday, the day before, that would be on the 20th, to make some signs, you know, watch us freeze, guys, you know, or, you know, I don't know, tents, no, homes, yes, or leave our tents alone unless you've got us homes, or whatever.
It's a memorial for people who died, so there's a couple people that have died in the last couple
and
of years.
And you get people's names on the memorial, remember so-and-so, that might be an idea.
Yeah.
Instead of just let's have a solemn moment and then let's move on and forget the whole thing.
Well, I mean, maybe something that mentions, that they froze to death, and how much colder is it now than it was then? I mean, it's way colder.
So bring cardboard and marking pens, although we may bring some. And paint would be good too. We may have some paint to this thing at 12 o'clock on Tuesday the 20th at the town clock, and be bundled up because it'll likely be cold. I mean, if it's, today is any example. And that's that item, as far as I know. Also, I guess.
And bring your slogans, because, that's the big thing. I got people who can paint, but.
Bring your.
Yeah, slogans. What slogans, what things that you maybe think of throughout the week that might help, something that we could put. Because I know people, a lot of you that have been involved in, the old time,
slogans. Okay, gotcha. All right. The other thing is. I don't know if they're going to try to pull a come on in only if you leave your backpack at the door, come on in only if we like the way you smell, come on in if we can't get to go to the bathroom at the vets hall. Because they pulled this kind of shit for the Thanksgiving meal for some people here when they had this meal recently at the vets hall. So be advised that may happen. Funa Bonsing will be outside at the town clock, and so it's not going to, it's more open. And that's it for the memorial. And unless anybody has something else they want to say.
And there's one idea, Good Trouble.
Good.
I'm trying to say, pushing it through all of the people around our camps. And one person that says, Good Trouble on it, and get people knowing what that means.
Good Trouble?
Good Trouble. Because of the movement that was done before. I'm not too keen on all of it. Yeah. So he wants to bring something back that reminds people of that. A friend of mine, Miguel. Okay. But maybe I can bring him with me on the day. So
we're going to call you the Good Trouble Woman.
Okay. Good Trouble. No, you was going to stick to me.
I like it.
Well, I don't
like
know
it.
What I'm afraid of. No, I don't. Okay.
Okay, and bring him next time, next is an update on what to do when a cop says move. Laura and I are supposed to be working on this. That's you and me, Laura Chatham. Laura Tucker. Sorry, Laura, my apologies. You and I, Laura, are working maybe on this this sort of benchlands refugee contact legal thing that I haven't done anything about, but we still have lots of names and emails. We could presumably, do this, or we could do our.
We have some little bits of moving on that, and I actually wanted to talk to you about that at some point. Nope. And that court where you ask for $1,000. And we should do it as individuals.
Individually. I was. My suggestion for against Take Back Campus was that we take the names of the people who were taking pictures and pushing people around, and then have each person who was getting harassed tort instead of doing a mass tort. You could do it either way. But, because the torts, the least amount of money you can ask for is $10,000 for civil harassment, then if there was five torts by people who had taken the name, who were harassed, taking pictures of their cars and everything. Go ahead.
Finish your sentence.
Okay, well, that's it. That's okay. It's really not that difficult. The tort. I'm an idiot, and I can fill it out.
Yeah, if you could help.
So maybe you.
Yeah, I will.
He does not have a phone. He does not have an.
No, well, it's because they keep stealing my phone.
However,
and I just.
However, he has a contact. You guys can do contacts.
Yeah, I just bought a brand new.
So.
Thing.
Well, their kids come after you. Why don't you bring up their names? So they've got some kids.
So.
Oh, I know.
The next item is on the agenda.
Yeah, I am aware of.
Is phone contact with a bunch of people, but I'm sorry to interrupt you, man.
It's okay.
And that we're not going to do at the moment because we're running out of time, and we got people here that might be interested in this stuff. But we can call any of these people up. However, we have Andrea's item, which is coming up. Andrea, your item, which has to do with the final solution to the homeless question. And then your item will be coming up, Suzanne, pamphlets that you want to distribute. which you were talking about.
And actually retrieve at the same time. Just have them fill it out and then give it back to me right then.
Yeah, yeah.
That way you'll have a bunch of different, you know,
so we can talk about maybe ways of helping to make that become a reality, or you can explain it and see if anybody wants to do it. Final solution, however, was what you had, Andrea, which is you asked us, you asked, what is my solution to the homeless problem now that I'm attacking those poor Portland authorities for getting rid of
them? Not your solution, but like what ideas do you have? I've never heard in all these years.
Leave them alone.
Well, let them just free-for-all for the homeless, right?
Free-for-all, I would say survival-for-all. That's what I would say, yes.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's not realistic at all, and it makes no logical sense.
I understand you disagree.
Totally practical.
That's okay.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, sure, no.
Robert.
Welcome.
Thank you, Netta.
Oh, hey, Netta, I recognize you. Here's an agenda if you want.
Cool.
We're almost at the end of it. Your name is on the agenda.
How about that?
Yeah, thanks for the idea.
So, and here's your very special copy of my war propaganda, anti-war propaganda.
No, I never got one of those. I don't know. Yeah, I want
one of those. There you go. Everybody's got the anti-war propaganda. There you go. This is from Madea Benjamin. Okay, so
Robert.
Yes.
A quick personal note. I don't think I'm gonna be able to go out to Stockton. It's gonna be too difficult for me to get back with all my stuff. Mm-hmm. Can you meet me somewhere tomorrow?
If I can't, I can maybe leave something maybe at Ace Hardware over the weekend. If you can give me a guy, again, remind me of the guy's name.
Write down your number on this, and I'll call you. I'll figure out a way to call you tomorrow morning.
Okay, it's 423. Help in case you lose this.
Here. Oh, just give me some of your cards again.
I'll give you a card, too.
Okay. I gave a bunch of them out, mostly to people that I was asking to support us and call in and support the organization.
If anybody wants my card, here's some cards. There you go. Greg, can you pass a few of these to...
And what about the pamphlets?
And here's some more cards. Yeah. Pamphlets is coming up now. Suzanne's question about pamphlets.
Okay.
This is for Greg. Greg, there's a couple more for you.
Okay, I have to go get...
Grab some papers, but don't take them. Take it no more than half if you can. Suzanne, here's a couple cards for you if you want.
All right, guys. Thank you, all of you, for being
all
here
right.
And doing everything you do.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming.
And I want to talk to you before I go.
You guys, go ahead.
I need to leave anyway, so I'll walk out.
All right, hey, get in touch if you want. If you got stuff you want to talk about, or... You have been sending me emails. Thank you for the emails over the week.
Yeah, you send me some emails about what we all are planning on doing.
Oh, yeah, okay, what we're talking about planning on doing.
You know, yeah.
Okay.
That was Laura
Tucker, another Laura that isn't here, was discussing with me, what are you doing to cop versus your camp? Have you got anything that you can say?
Remember the cards that she...
Martin versus Boise. She wasn't at these meetings.
Oh.
Yeah, no. Laura was working on a card that would say, here you are, officer. Go away. Here's my card, you know. And you were working on it. Did you want to give it up?
I don't have any updates. Okay, let me have something you were talking about.
And you might want to get in touch with Suzanne, too, if you think she can be helpful. Suzanne is an actual... Well, I could tell you, give you different suggestions, but no silver bullet.
Mm-hmm. Why are they allowed to do this?
No one wants to risk arrest. First thing, because you have to say, I'm sorry, unless you've got a place for me to go. Oh, you go to the armory. No, I found that's not acceptable because I have a disability.
Then
we're taking your stuff. We'll be back in 5 minutes to take your stuff. Get out of here. Goodbye. Because that's awful.
They give you 3 days. They give you 3 days.
Or even give you 3 days.
Even if we've been living there for 2 years, they give us 3 days.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, it depends on, you know, I'm thinking of the
bench. And then if you get too sassy with them, they will arrest you so that your 3 days that you had to remove your stuff doesn't happen so they can take your stuff.
One of the keys to this is you have to have somebody watching your stuff in the event that this happens. So you have to prepare for it with a colleague who's going to stay behind.
Yeah.
And that means prep in some way for you to do
storage.
That. Put your stuff in storage or find somebody you think isn't going to steal your stuff and not get arrested herself or himself. Yeah. So that's the issue there.
The buddy system.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've done instant verbal or really quick handwritten power of attorney, limited power of attorney when somebody's going away in an ambulance or getting arrested.
And the value of a limited power of attorney?
Just then they acted as your agent to determine what to do with your belongings and get sorted out. Yeah, find the right person, of course, who's willing to accept that and understands everything about it and you know, that can think about doing this.
I mean, the main idea is to have your possessions under somebody else's authority. So if the police officer wants to take your possessions, he says, no, these are mine. I'm keeping these.
Right.
You know, and I'll be happy to move in 3 days. Talk to you later. Or I'll start moving, but this is my stuff.
Yeah. They do get frustrated sometimes.
And it's not to say this is going to work. I don't know, because police violate the law all the time. They don't give a shit about the law. They care about police policies. As long as their superior says they're okay or won't hold them accountable, which is usually the case, they do what they want. That's the danger, and that's the reason that we need the kind of controls that we don't have.
I had the ambulance driver act as witness to one power of attorney exchange, he stood by. He goes, "Yeah, sounds tight, airtight to me." And so they just.
So the answer to this particular issue for you is, on this agenda item that you asked about, is, you know, we aren't doing much, but if you can exchange information, if you haven't already, with Rita, maybe she can help out if she.
I just remember a time when people were talking about how, like, if the cops come to move you, they have to have somewhere for you to go. So that was their hold on to where we were at. But now it's like it doesn't matter anymore?
It matters, but because there's no encampment where there's enough people watching, because there's no longer community support for the benchlands, of even the limited sort that was happening for the benchlands, it's much harder. I mean, remember...
Well, we have enough people now down in the Highway 9 that could happen again.
Oh, of course.
And all those benchland people are pretty much down there. They got moved from the Poconos, and now they're moving down there.
They have all those gathered up again. It was a scene, man.
It's a big scene.
Whoa!
Waiting for people to come out of the city. It's ridiculous.
So it's. I mean, I've seen meth scenes in the benchlands too, but you know, I don't. If you're using meth or if you're using fentanyl, that's your business. You know, main issue for me
in terms of optics.
Of course, right? You are, no question about it.
Are these all the papers for December?
I don't know. You got to look at them.
No, I mean, do you have any still at your house?
I might. I don't know. I have to look at these. But these are what are available to you right now.
Okay.
That's what's available. So, in other words, half of that pile is available.
I'm not taking this.
Yeah. So in any case, did we finish up with that question, Suzanne? Because you're under immediate threat, or that's potentially the case at any time.
Yeah. Well, I'm taking care of my issue threat, which is I have two roosters right now that somebody dropped off and threw in the road.
Please call me so we can stay. We can wave at you as you get carried away. Which
somebody just told me, go grab my cats.
Oh yeah.
You know. Yeah. I'm not offering any help other than information to the community about what's happening.
Yeah.
I want to be real clear so I don't give false hope. On the other hand...
Well, we need information about what's really the law. I mean, like, if we'll stand
right.
up, but if it's really the law, they can't live this if we don't...
I mean, the law is the court decision, which was the Morton versus Boise court decision, which is they have to have an indoor shelter for you to go to that is not religiously restrictive.
So who is... holding them to that? Why are they getting...
Oh, arrested? They have the armory. They have cuffed spots. So what they say is, we'll send you up to the armory if you'd like. Oh, you don't want to go? We're taking your stuff. Go to jail or get out.
Jeremy rejected us from the armory yesterday because supposedly all of our screening sounded violent and the people at the armory decided that they didn't want to take the risk.
Get documentation that you were rejected. Get some documentation. That's what you could present.
From
he said, that's a good question. I don't know the good answer to that, which is probably Jeremy's...
Jeremy is the one who rejected you. I feel like
if you can find him, that's the problem. Jeremy is very elusive. You know, I mean,
you probably have the right to ask him. Like, can you give that to me in writing that I've been rejected?
I have friends who are staying there. Then you're right. In there, if we have like I said, pamphlets.
I mean, there is
questions that you need answered.
Yeah, that is a very important thing to do. But in answer to what Meta was asking, I think they are holding. Come to the library on Thursday between such and such and such and such to apply. Go there and say, I would like documentation. I've been rejected by Jeremy Leonard. I need a documentation that I've been rejected because I need another place to go if the police come and tell me. Otherwise, I'm stuck outside. Mm-hmm. Bring a friend with you.
But he did make a referral, so I have to go and follow that referral.
What's the referral?
The referral was to Housing Matters.
Go to Housing Matters. Go to Housing Matters. All this bullshit. Go to, and you'll probably find a similar problem. But nonetheless,
I testified at City Council yesterday.
I heard you. I heard you on the internet.
Yeah, and I got reamed by him afterwards.
Him being
Jeremy.
Oh well, tough titty for him. I mean,
he's like, I know Chloe. She would never do that.
Oh well.
If you deal with her,
apparently he doesn't know her very well. If you're accurate in what you're saying, you know.
You know, I'm just presenting facts,
yeah.
And then I have an opinion as from being in nonprofit management as to that looks like a very typical, you know, notch on the metric belt. That's an opinion. I have no way of proving it. It could be that she really, really, really tuned out me saying, you know, several times, I have a letter from Bernie Escalante, you're a victim of a violent crime. I've got two letters from the DA.
So this is a second issue that you were bringing up, not the issue of I haven't got shelter.
No. What happened, just FYI, to make this really clear, so I've got some background in nonprofit management and studied it at CSU and was on the board at Survivors Healing Center. Executive assistant to HPN for a while. And so one of the typical things that people in the nonprofit sector do when they get a grant, every grant has stipulations. You know, like, for example, in this grant cycle, you agree as a recipient of this grant that you're going to do X number of intake interviews for this program that we're funding with X number of unique clients, right? And so what people will do is they'll just try to get people in to mark off